Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment of Weekend Update. From very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly and permanently ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Saturday. The weather dingus here at the studio says it's 9 degrees, though I imagine that it's somewhat colder in Stubby's office. Not being too bold and taking too much credit, it's fair to say that someone in the governor's office listens to this program, as they all should, of course. Late yesterday, it was released that Governor Gordon chose Robert Jarosz to replace Justice Kautz on the Wyoming Supreme Court. Not knowing too much about him, it's fair to say that he was the lesser of three evils. But really, the important thing here is that Stubby is not going to be sitting on the Supreme Court.
Happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again.
From the governor's press release, and I quote, Jarosz is a partner at Hearst Applegate LLP, where he's worked in private practice since 2003, specializing in complex civil litigation in both state and federal courts. Upon his graduation from law school, Jarosz served as a law clerk for Federal District Judge William Beeman and has argued multiple cases before the Wyoming Supreme Court. In addition, he has served for 13 years as a hearing officer for the City of Cheyenne for a variety of commissions and boards and is a past president of the Wyoming State Bar. He's a graduate of Cheyenne East and UW. Fair enough, but that really doesn't tell us too much about him. The truth is, we'd all need a divining rod to figure out how Robert Jarosz is going to rule on pretty much any matter. He did represent the university in the case of Todd Schmidt, the church elder that the University of Wyoming tried to kick out of the student union for alleged discrimination against Artemis Langford, whose real name, by the way, is not Artemis. It's Dallin James Langford of Lander, Wyoming. Artemis, as he's come to be known, is the man that joined the Kappa Kappa Gamma sorority at the University of Wyoming and now is in the middle of a big giant lawsuit between six sorority women and their sorority. Schmidt, the church elder, had a sign that said God created man and woman and Artemis Langford is a man. Who would have guessed that speaking truth at a university would be considered discrimination? But evidently, it is at the University of Wyoming, until Nancy Freudenthal, a Wyoming judge, ruled against the university and in favor of Todd Schmidt. In legal filings on behalf of the University of Wyoming, Robert Jarosz wrote, quote, "The university was not targeting any expressive content of the plaintiff's speech. It was targeting the acts of discrimination and harassment," end quote. In a July 23, 2023 article in the Pravda on the Platte, Jarosz and his co-counsel insisted, quote, "The university is not restricting speech, but preventing discrimination and harassment against an individual student. Schmidt has consistently created a hostile environment for students and university employees and violated school policies over the roughly 17 years he tabled. By 2021, issues with plaintiffs' non-compliance with the union policies and procedures had risen to the level that the university decided that it needed to start documenting complaints about the plaintiff," end quote. Okay, whatever. That's about enough of that. Like I said, we really shouldn't read too much into that. He was a law professor at the University of Wyoming during that case, and he was representing the university. So lawyers make arguments on behalf of their clients, however weak and misguided they might be. In other words, the case is what it is, and you have to work with what you got, no matter if the case you have is a steaming pile of poo or not. But there is one tiny little thing that might give us some insight into Robert Jarosz. Do you remember way back to the 2022 election when 41 attorneys and former judges in the state of Wyoming wrote a letter to Harriet Hageman denouncing her claim that the 2020 election was rigged? That was a big deal at the time, or so the Pravda on the Platte tried to make it. From their stupid letter, and I quote, "Many members of the public most certainly believe that your status as a long-standing Wyoming trial lawyer with professed expertise in constitutional law has granted you access to information and knowledge of the election process unavailable to them. That's why the statements coming from you, as opposed to a non-lawyer, about our election being rigged carry great weight and make them especially volatile and destabilizing. Simply put, we do not think your recent statements upheld, quote, respect for our legal system, unquote, or furthered, quote, the public's understanding of and confidence in the rule of law, end quote, as directed by our rules of conduct that we all committed to uphold, nor do they seem consistent with the professional oath we took all those years ago when we committed to becoming Wyoming lawyers, end quote. Uh-huh. Big, gigantic, steaming pile of partisan poo, and it should definitely be taken as such. But there is one very interesting thing about it. The people who signed the letter, or more specifically, the positions that they hold. Among the names listed at the bottom of that ridiculous letter is none other than Anna M. Reeves Olson, the current president of the Wyoming Bar, Christopher M. Hawks, the immediate past president of the Wyoming Bar, Devin O'Connell, past president of the Wyoming State Bar. That last name, Devin O'Connell, also happens to be on the Judicial Nominating Committee for the Wyoming Supreme Court. It's pretty telling about her political leanings and who she might choose as the three candidates to send to the governor to fill the vacancy on the Wyoming Supreme Court. But one name that does not appear on the Wyoming 41 letter is Robert Jarosz. Now, this is interesting because you have four past presidents of the Wyoming State Bar as signatories on that letter. Why wouldn't you add a fifth? Seems curious to me. From a Wyoming State Bar press release dated September 18th of 2017, quote, "The Wyoming State Bar is pleased to announce that Robert Jarosz, an attorney from Cheyenne, Wyoming, has been elected president of its organization. The 2017-2018 election of officers was held according to the bylaws of the Wyoming State Bar. The results of the election were announced last week in Cheyenne, Wyoming, at the bar's annual business meeting. Jarosz succeeds John A. Masterson of Casper, Wyoming." End quote. Masterson didn't sign that dumb letter either. However, the attorney that directly preceded Masterson, Devin O'Connell, did. Now, it could just be that Jarosz and Masterson's political acumen is a little bit sharper than those other 41 idiots, or you could infer that maybe they have a different political ideology. I don't want you to read too much into this because I understand that I am completely just looking at the tea leaves here. But don't think for a second that Masterson and Jarosz weren't asked to sign along with the Wyoming 41. They absolutely were. Whatever gravity that letter lacked, and it was a lot, would have been added to if you had the current and five previous presidents of the Wyoming State Bar as signatories on it. But all of that is in the past, and now we get to watch what Robert Jarosz is going to do on the Wyoming Supreme Court. There are a number of cases that are coming up of great importance, not the least of which is the abortion lawsuit that is sure to end up before the Supreme Court. The only thing that we can hope is that Robert Jarosz applies the same deference to all of our rights that he did to Harriet Hageman's freedom of speech. Now, I could have that all wrong. I'm not usually in the business of looking at a bunch of tea leaves and divining something out of it. And if the U.S. Supreme Court is any indication, you never know what you're going to get out of a justice. And no doubt, that's going to be true in this case. When you boil it all down, really the only thing that all of us can hope for is that Robert Jarosz just stays out of politics, just like he did in that high-profile letter that was sent to Harriet Hageman. After all, his new job is just to interpret the Wyoming Constitution. We'll get back to the program in just a second. But first, an absolutely outrageous profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or a giant roping arena or even a huge warehouse for your business, the two guys you need to talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. Their phone number is 307-674-2532. They're the experts in metal building construction, and they've been doing it longer than anybody else around. You'll receive a 50-year warranty on the foundation, which is something that you're not going to get from any of their competitors. One of the things they do is they install concrete pillars and then insert a steel beam inside them. That way, there is no way water is going to get underneath your foundation and destroy it. For more information, give Nick and Jesse a call at 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. It's still cold outside. When I started the program, I told you that the weather gizmo said it was 9 degrees. So you're probably not thinking camping right about now, but maybe you should be. Right now is a perfect time to fix all of the things that went wrong with your camper throughout the summer. And the people you need to talk to are Young's Camper Repair over in Worland. They are one of the few businesses in Wyoming that fix or repair campers. And the cool thing about them is if it's too convenient for you to haul your camper all the way to Worland, tell them what you've got going on and they'll come to you. Give them a call. Their phone number is 307-431-8110. That's Young's Camper Repair. One more time, 307-431-8110. The following advertisement is paid for by Reed Raisner for Senate. You can listen to the program anywhere you get your podcasts. iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Spotify, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the episodes as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Tim Stubson and you can't figure out why you weren't selected for the Wyoming Supreme Court, well, I suggest you go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and educate yourself. And now, back to the program. In other news, Ogden Driscoll, otherwise known as Wilford Brimley, just not quite as smart, and the Redcoat Speaker of the House, Albert Sommers, have penned a new op-ed in the Cowpie. Shocking though it may be, they resisted the urge to blame the Freedom Caucus for everything that didn't get passed in the 2023 legislative session. In all of their previous missives, the pair took pot shots at the Freedom Caucus and every conservative in the House. Evidently, they are not aware that 31 is greater than 26. But that doesn't mean that they didn't replace their favorite refrain with yet another distortion of the facts. From the Cowpie, and I quote, ahem, ahem. If passed, the ballot initiative that is being proposed will have a catastrophic impact on funding for many counties and municipalities across Wyoming, as well as creating a significant long-term funding challenge for K-12 education. We all need fire, police, roads, and health care, and our schools are the lifeblood of our small communities. End quote. What the article may be lacking in political pontification, it makes up for in bullcrap. First, as I pointed out in Monday's edition of the program, the ballot initiative is not going to reduce county revenue by 50%. Wyoming counties only get about 30 to 40% of their revenue from residential property taxes. The rest of it comes from minerals and grants and all sorts of other things. But only around 30 to 40% comes from residential taxes. And the ballot initiative only applies to a relatively small group of those homeowners. First, the ballot initiative only applies to your primary residence, and in Wyoming, that's only 71% of the homes in the state. Second, to be eligible, you would have had to reside in your home for at least 1 year. So of those 71%, only 83% fit that criteria. So when you boil it all down, 30 to 40% of county revenue, 71% have to be primary residences, and 83% of those have to be in their home for 1 year, it amounts to approximately 10% of county revenue. It wasn't that long ago that Governor Gordon mandated a 10% cut across the board for all state departments. Unless I'm missing something, the state is functioning just fine. And all of those services, how did they put it? Oh yeah, K-12 education, fire, police, roads, healthcare are all still working just fine. Well, as it relates to the schools, their mediocre test scores are still mediocre, so no impact there. The second problem with that little paragraph, municipalities. This is going to come as a gigantic shock to Albert and Ogden, the self-proclaimed conservatives, or shall I refer to them as AOC? But municipalities are not funded by property taxes. The bulk of municipal funding comes from sales taxes, not property taxes. Those are two completely different things. The ballot initiative is not going to have any impact whatsoever on municipalities. And what about all this K-12 education funding that they're so concerned about? The truth is that in 8 years, K-12 education funding has gone up $800 million. It's true. The Wyoming education budget has doubled in 8 years. And still, there really isn't any improvement in student outcomes. Not at all. Our test scores have remained middle of the pack for several years. Absolutely mediocre. And before you get your panties in a wad, like my friend Ken would say, the old 1828 defines mediocre as of middle quality, indifferent, ordinary, or, as I might describe the thought that went into this article, of mediocre intellect. Or to put our K-12 education system on a grading scale, if schools even use such a discriminatory and delicate snowflake feelings-busting system, mediocre, middle-of-the-road, run-of-the-mill would be a C. Not what Grady Hutcherson, president of the Wyoming Education Association, would describe as a...
with our phenomenal K-12 education system in Wyoming.
Shut up, Grady. Just go back to training your socialists like your website says you were doing. Anyway, back to AOC. Albert and Ogden conservatives. They go on to list a number of bills that they claim are their priorities in this upcoming legislative session that begins February 12th. Among them, HB 3, property tax exemption for long-term homeowners. Just like the Inflation Reduction Act, it has a great title and it sounds amazing. Too bad it's unconstitutional, because you're unfairly treating one class better than another. There's HB 4, Property Tax Refund Program. Now, a lot of Wyoming citizens took advantage of this one. The problem with it is, if you can afford a property tax refund program, that's a pretty good indicator that you're taxing people too much. There's HB 18, Property Tax Inflation Cap. Now, they're telling you that your property taxes can go up no more than 5% every year. The problem with that is you're putting in law that your property taxes will double in 14 years. There's HB 45, Property Tax Exemption Residential Structures. This one has a number of problems with the Constitution, though its sponsor is Barry Crago, so I'm sure that he'll come up with several creative arguments to make it constitutional, even though it's not. If that thing passes, it's going to be struck down by the Wyoming Supreme Court out of hand. And then there's HJ1. You're absolutely going to love this. Property tax classes of property and residential value. Do you remember how incredible the constitutional amendment was that was passed in the legislative session? How it was groundbreaking. How it was going to be the first real step towards real property tax reform. Well, HJ1 repeals it and puts in its place several different classes of property, which would have the effect of allowing the legislature to monkey with the property tax structure whenever they wanted to. The guys that wrote our Constitution were really, really smart in tying commercial and residential property together for taxation purposes. That had the result of preventing the legislature from independently raising the taxes on your property because it would affect business, or from them raising the taxes on business because that would affect residential properties also. No politician in their right mind wants to raise taxes on voters right before an election. You remember what happened to this guy, don't you?
My opponent now says he'll raise them as a last resort or a third resort. But when a politician talks like that, you know that's one resort he'll be checking into. Read my lips. No new taxes.
Definitely didn't work out so good for him. The truth is, all of the bills that I just mentioned are going to have the result of raising your taxes in one way or another. These redcoats down in Cheyenne are nothing if not creative. One more thing before I let you go. You remember how I mentioned that AOC, Albert Ogden Conservatives, resisted the urge to attack the Freedom Caucus in their op-ed? Well, Ogden couldn't really contain himself and had to resort to comments on Facebook to do his dirty work. And I quote, "Very hard to pass when the Freedom Caucus, along with the Democrats, blocked the only bill alive for a fix last year. It will take all working together for a solution, not just a no-compromise group killing all ideas that aren't theirs. Not how the legislative process works." Hey, Ogden, I realize that you're probably a product of the, quote, phenomenal K-12 education system in Wyoming, and math may not be your strong suit, but 31 is greater than 26. There is nothing that the Freedom Caucus could have prevented in the 2023 legislative session. And I thought that the constitutional amendment was the first real step towards real property tax reform. And yet you claim that the Freedom Caucus killed the only bill alive for a fix last year. None of these redcoats, including AOC, Albert Ogden Conservative, can really tell the truth about taxes. Because if they did, they'd have to agree that we've been killing Wyoming citizens with high property tax rates for years. Absolutely dishonest and despicable. Well, that'll about do it for today's installment of the program. Have a good rest of your weekend, and we'll talk again on Monday, where we'll have an interview with Gillette Representative John Baer to discuss the very bills that I brought up during this episode. Don't forget to subscribe and follow the program. That way you can be notified every time there's a brand new episode of Cowboy State Politics. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Studio, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.